Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. And Lord, I'm just asking God that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 13 through 21. And please pray for my voice. I feel like I'm getting just a little bit of a cold maybe. But I'm going to power through this by the grace of God and by the mercy of God. So keep praying for me. Amen. So with that, let's go now to our... There we go. Hey, there it is. I've entitled this evening's message, The Excellent Glory. The Excellent Glory. In this Bible study this evening, we're going to see how Peter describes the transfiguration when he was asked to go up with John and another brother up onto the mountaintop. They followed Jesus, and Jesus went onto a high mountain, and there he was transfigured into the glory of his radiance. And he saw Elijah and Moses there as well. And so this was evidence, and they were a witness to the excellent glory that will be revealed to you and I on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a glimpse of the bodies that God would prepare for you and I. So I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited what God's doing in the midst of his people. So are you ready to get into God's word? Let's break this down. So here we go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 21, and it reads, yes, verse 13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. What's he reminding us? Well, we're gonna see this in a little bit. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Praise God, praise God. Verse 16 through 18. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. There it is. That's where I got my topic. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the what? Holy mountain. Verse 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For privacy, look at this, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by what? They were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise God, praise God. So let's break this down. Let's start with verse 13, 14, and 15, because they all come together as one statement and one scripture. So let's read this. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things. Praise God, praise God. And that tent, you know, is our earthly body. Praise God. And so, saints, Peter would keep on reminding the believers and try to make these things clear to them so that they would remember them long after he was gone. Saints of God, this is the intention and the purpose of Bible study, that we would read these things, adhere to them, receive them. Why? Because one day I'll be gone. Should the Lord tarry, I'll be gone. And some of you are very young still. And God will bring back to your remembrance all the things that you learned and you heard by the power of the Holy Spirit. So long after Peter was gone, he wrote, look, it's 2,000 years later, we have this wonderful epistle, don't we? Well, the phrase, as long as I live, emphasizes the transitory nature of this life on earth, my friends. Peter reminds us that the eternal realm matters, not the temporal. Yeah, the temporal, no. Temporal is just temporal, temporary. Look what I found in Scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5:5-8. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. It says, now he who has prepared us for the very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Now, I also saw this in the book of Hebrews. Look at this. In Hebrews 9:27-28. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, to those who eagerly wait for him. And he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, Peter knew that he would soon die. And many years before Christ had prepared Peter for the kind of death Peter would face, although the only timing Peter knew was that he would be old. Praise God, praise God. Look what else I found here in the book of John. In John 21:18-19, look at this. Jesus said this, most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God. Look at that. Verse 19 again. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Well, we all know, saints of God, that Christ would die for our sins as we read the scriptures. But at that time, even though for 3.5 years he told them that he must go to the cross to die for our sins, when that day finally came, they were in shock. But praise God, God secure and kept the scriptures, that they would never be lost, that we would have them and we would read them and that we would adhere to them and that we would remember the things of God and we would always apply the principles of the Word of God. You see, saints, at the writing of this letter, Peter knew that his death was at hand. And scholars have discussed whether Peter had received some kind of revelation. He could have, but this was great revelation right here that Jesus had mentioned. I want you to catch that right now. Look at that again. That's great revelation there. Praise God. God is good. I want you to catch reading that for a minute. Good. Look at that. He said, follow me. He said, follow me. But see, some scholars, like I mentioned, believe that Peter had some kind of revelation, that some kind of revelation so that he knew the death was coming, or whether Peter just simply thought he would die. he would die, and the word of God would be left behind because of the intense persecution in Rome and his being a prominent Christian figure in the church. Remember, he was the very first word. He was the very first apostle to cry out, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was the first one. He was the first preacher when he got filled with the Holy Ghost. So he knew. God gave him revelation when it was time for him to go. But in any case, saints of God, Peter was martyred for the faith in about AD 68. And according to some traditions, he was crucified upside down at his own request because he did not feel worthy to die in the same manner of his master. Wow, wow. So let's move on to verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? They were eyewitnesses. All the apostles were. They got to handle the Lord Jesus Christ. They got to touch him, to speak with him, to eat with him. Well, one day, soon and very soon, we're going to have that same privilege. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. You see, my friends, Peter explained that he and the other apostles, the original carriers of the gospel message, had not been making up clever stories when they spoke of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming again. Most likely, saints, Peter was defending the gospel against accusations from false teachers. Remember the Judaizers that we've been learning about, that the incarnation and resurrection and second coming were myths. To those folks, it was myths. But to us, it's the truth of God. And we receive everything that's written in this holy book. Can I get an amen? Look what else I found right here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:14. Paul, look at this. Paul reminded Timothy in verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved. Look at that. To God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise God. Praise God. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Wow. And their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. See, there's always going to be false teachers. Be careful, saints. Be careful who comes into the midst of our congregation and spew out ungodly lies. Look at this in verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows, look at this, the Lord knows those who are his. Can I get an amen in the house? And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, Peter had seen his majestic splendor with his own eyes. And Peter was referring to the transfiguration where Jesus' divine identity had been revealed to Peter and two other disciples. And they were James and John. Praise God. Praise God. I found some scriptures to prove this point, that this Bible study tonight, which I entitled The Excellent Glory, God revealed with Elijah and Moses their glorified bodies. And I bet they were just in awe to see Jesus transformed, glowing, light, pure light. Look what I found right here. Look at this. In Luke 9, 28 through 30. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James, went up to the mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah. What? Wow. Wow, Moses and Elijah. Look what else I found in Mark 9, 2 through 4. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was what? Transfigured right there before them. Wow. Just so supernaturally. What a blessing. His clothes, look at this, became shiny, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. What? Saints of God, let me just pause right there for a moment. This lets us know that our salvation is secure. This lets us know what they eyewitnessed was everlasting life. Because those were thousands of years that have gone by where Moses and Elijah once lived as humans. But they were there now speaking of Jesus on top of this mountain. It lets you and I know the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to save us. He shed his blood for you and I, that we would have eternal life. And they were eyewitnesses to that account. They saw Jesus, Moses, and Elijah alive forevermore. Saints, that ought to bring you great hope, knowing that what we do in this body of flesh, the life that we live, nothing's in vain. God wants to use you. God wants to just allow the supernatural to be used through your hands and your mind. He wants us to preach the gospel, lay hands on the sick, and watch them recover. He wants to use us to give people a word of hope, that we would give them a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Praise God. I'm telling you, what they saw was what we should now be affirmed in our heart. This should be confirmation that we have eternal security with Christ Jesus. Praise God. Look what else I found right here. Look, in Matthew 17, 1 through 4, look at this. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. See, all these accounts, we just read Luke and John and Matthew now. Look at this. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Look at this. It was a glorious time. A glorious time. And I am so blessed to read this to you, saints, because God is doing something mighty in your life and my life. And we got to hold on. Don't let go. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. We're going to have a glorified body like that soon and very soon. Where we won't have this body of sin that fights us every day. The struggle of it. The pain of it. The diseased body that's going back to the dust. But our soul and spirit is eternally secured by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, saints, we have a lively hope, a living hope. Never give up. Never get down. Always look up. For our redemption is drawing near. Praise God. You see, saints, at the transfiguration, the three disciples received a foretaste of what Christ would be like in glory and what eternity with him would be like. Praise God. This was grounded in experience and fact without embellishment or speculation. The believers, as us and you and I, we must always remember that the truth they received was truth indeed, passed on by those who had lived with them and learned from Jesus. Peter emphasized his authority as an eyewitness, as well as the God-inspired authority of Scripture to prepare the way for his harsh words against the false teachers. And this is why we should never be ashamed. I know some of us have family members and friends and co-workers and what have you. And many times we get awestruck. We want to say what the Bible says, but we fear man. I'm here to let you know, fear God, but don't fear man. If God has given you that divine appointment, speak the things of God. Build them up. Allow the word of God to penetrate their heart. Allow the seed to be planted. They may not come to Christ right then and there, but hold on. Pray for them. Water it. Water that seed that you planted and watch it come to fruition. You see, my friends, if these wicked men were contradicting the apostles, I'm talking about the Judaizers and the false teachers, and they were contradicting the Bible, their message could not be from God. You see, Peter's affirmation that they were not making up clever stories denies the charge from some liberal scholars that the Gospels are merely a myth. And it's not a myth. This is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, my friends, Peter and the apostles, they staked their lives on the truth of all the narratives found in the Word of God. Now, let's move on to verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. Praise God. Even they heard the voice of God from heaven come down. You see, my friends, Peter wrote what only an eyewitness to this event could have written. And at the transfiguration, Jesus had received honor and glory from God his Father. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the transfiguration was a brief glimpse of Jesus' true story. This was God's divine affirmation of everything Jesus had done and was about to do. The transfiguration assured the disciples that their commitment was well placed and their eternity was well secured. Praise God. And so is yours, and so is mine. Praise God. You see, my friends, Jesus was truly the Messiah, the divine Son of God on earth. Jesus appeared as a man, a poor carpenter from Nazareth, turned as an itinerant preacher. But at the transfiguration, Jesus' true identity was revealed with a glorious radiance that he had before coming to earth and that he will have when he returns in glory to establish his kingdom. And we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years on this earth. Oh, that's right. How many of you can't wait for that? I can't wait for that moment. It's soon and very soon. Look what I found in Matthew. Look at this. In Matthew 17:5, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, whom I am what? Well pleased. Hear him, meaning hear from the Lord. Hear from my Son. Praise God. Praise God. Look what else I found in Philippians 2:5-8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Wow. Wow, saints. My goodness. What a blessing. What a blessing. You see, saints, during this transfiguration, a cloud appeared and enveloped the whole group of the mountain. Jesus, Elijah, Moses, Peter, James, and John. Well, guess what? When it's our turn to be in glory, we're going to see them all. We're going to see all 12. We're going to see Moses and all the Old Testament patriarchs. But most important thing, we get to see Jesus. We get to see Jesus. Jesus who created us. Jesus who loved us. Jesus who came to save us. Jesus who died a hideous death for us. I can't wait for that moment. And it's soon. And very soon, we're going to meet the King. And so God's glorious, majestic voice, it called down from heaven. And it signaled out Jesus from Moses and Elijah and the long-awaited Messiah who possessed divine authority. And saints of God, as he had done at Jesus' baptism, we find this in the book of Mark. God gave verbal approval of his son. Let's go here, right here in Mark. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." Praise God. You see, saints, the voice spoke to the three disciples saying, "This is my beloved son. I am fully pleased with him." Praise God. Praise God. So there was no ifs, ands, or buts. There was no controversy. God had made it clear with the apostles that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. Let's move on now to verse 18 of 2 Peter chapter 1. And it reads, "And when we heard this voice which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy" what? "The holy mountain." Praise God. You see, saints, not only had the three disciples, which refers to Peter, James, and John, and they seen Christ's honor and glory, but they also heard about it as well from God himself. God had to make it clear to them. And so Peter's testimony, it counters the heresy of the false teachers, because there's always going to be false teachers. And I think you hear that ambulance in my background. To me, when I hear an ambulance, when I'm preaching the word, it's like there's an urgency to get the word out. Praise God. Praise God. I pray for, if that was an ambulance, oh God, bless that person right now, wherever you're taking them, in the name of Jesus. You see, my friends, they pointed to esoteric knowledge as the basis of salvation and holiness. Peter, he pointed to a heavenly origin of the voice, not earthly knowledge. You see, my friends, the transfiguration obviously had a profound impact on Peter. And he prepared for his death. His last words of assurance to future believers focused on the reliability of the gospel. And so, my friends, Peter knew that his eternal glory was sure, for he had seen it with his own eyes. Thus, my friends, he could assure all believers that they too would one day share in his glory. How many can't wait to share in that glory? Praise God. Praise God. Well, listen, we got a few more verses to break down, and then we'll be through for this evening. Let's look at verse 19. "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day of dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Praise God. Praise God. I want you to catch that for a moment, especially that last part of this scripture, "until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." Wow. You see, saints, as Peter reflected on the assurances of the second coming of Christ, what he and the other apostles had seen and heard and experienced, he was reminded of another assurance that we here could still refer to the apostles, or more likely Peter may have meant that all the believers in general are also have this assurance. Aren't you so blessed? It wasn't just for them. They wrote it down for us. 2,000 years later, we're receiving this word, this prophetic word, that God is going to do something miraculous in the midst of his people. Look what I found right here in the book of John, chapter 8. Look at this. "Then Jesus spoke to them again and saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Praise God. He is the bright and morning star. Look what else I found in 2 Corinthians 4, 6. "For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, Peter added the prophets to the mixture of the evidence. Praise God. Showing the error of the false teachers. And what God had said on the mountain should give the believers even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. And these words could mean that the transfiguration verified and validated all that the prophets had foreseen. God would come to earth as a human being. And Jesus Christ was that person, human but glorious, who would save people from their sins. And more likely, my friends, these words could mean that if the people were having trouble believing Peter, then they could go back to the Old Testament scriptures. There they would find the same truth. They should also pay close attention to the scriptures as one who would pay attention to a light shining in a dark place. You see, my friends, the Old Testament scriptures verify the gospel, making even more certain its truth. The believers were encouraged, saints of God, to continue in this matter until the day Christ appears and His brilliant light shines in all of our hearts. Praise God. Until that day comes when Christ returns to dispel all darkness, believers have Scripture as a light and the Holy Spirit to illuminate Scripture for us and guide us as we seek the truth. Praise God. But my friends, when Christ is completely revealed, Scripture will no longer be needed. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? So now, let's move on to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21 as we close out this final chapter. And it reads, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, Peter wrote here of revelation, thus the source of all Scripture. One's belief about revelation is foundational for all our faith. Christians, you and I, we must be able to rest on the infallibility of the Scripture, or our faith is no value in it. We got to believe God's Word. Hence, Peter's words above all, saints of God, you and I must understand that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophets from themselves. Nuh-uh. And perhaps the false teachers were denying Scripture by denying its divine origin, saying that the words were merely the writer's interpretation, not God's words. Scripture specifically, the Old Testament prophecies, did not originate with any man, nor was it interpreted by the prophets themselves as they delivered the message. It was by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Peter reaffirmed the divine origin of Old Testament prophecy, that the Holy Spirit move the prophets to speak from God. Scripture did not come from the creative work of the prophets and their own invention or interpretation. The same God who spoke to the disciples at the Transfiguration had spoken to the prophets, my friends, guiding them in their writings. And so, my friends, God inspired the writers so that their message is authentic and reliable. God used the talents, education, and cultural background of each writer, but they were not taking dictation. They were being spoken to by the Holy Ghost, and God cooperated with the writers in such a way to ensure that the message He intended was faithfully communicated through the words that they wrote by the power of the Holy Spirit. It was through the Holy Spirit God revealed His person and plan to certain believers who wrote down His message for His people. The process, my friends, of inspiration makes Scripture completely trustworthy. Why? Because God was in control of its writing. The Bible's words are entirely accurate and authoritative, for our faith and for our lives. And through knowledge of the scriptures, my friends, believers would be able to recognize and stand firm against the false teaching. How? Through the knowledge of the scriptures, believers would have all the tools and guidance they would need to live for God. Praise God. How many are so blessed that you are a child of God? How many of you are so blessed that God saved us for such a time as this? I'm here to let you know that time now is of value. Time is of essence. What do I mean by that? We see the culture decaying. We're seeing so many abominations in our nation. Jesus said, right before he comes, it will be like the days of Lot and Noah. It's very violent, very sexually immoral. We see these things. But look up. The Bible says, look up, for our redemption draws near. Don't fear man. Just stay in reverence to God. Be humble and walk with wisdom. Be kind to one another. Love your enemies, like Jesus said. Love those who despitefully use you, even those who lie to your face. Pray for them. This is an hour that we must pray. We must have strong fire prayers that will deliver those who are in bondage. And I can't wait to have a deliverance service soon. I want you all to pray it if you're listening to me right now. We need to have a deliverance service. We need to be praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. There's some people that need to be set free. They're oppressed by the devil. Not possessed, oppressed. And maybe, just maybe, some are possessed. But a believer who's filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, oppression can come from the enemy to wear you down, to tire you out, to frustrate you, to cause you to try to steer your faith and your hope away from Christ. But I'm here to let you know that he that lives in us, in you and me, is greater than he that is in the world. Praise God. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, I am your shield and buckler. Jesus said, I am your protector. I will be the one to shield you from the enemy. And no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. For every tongue that rises up against you, God shall condemn it. In the name of Jesus. I'm praying for those right now, hallelujah, that are going through. And we rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bind you. We bind those right now that are struggling in their finances. We bind that enemy that's destroying marriages. We bind that spirit that's causing young men and women to be addicted to pornography and drugs and alcohol. We come against that spirit right now by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. Set them free, O God. Those who are listening right now, set them free, O God. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. O God, do a mighty work. O God, raise up men and women, hallelujah, of faith, that they would come and help deliver these precious souls that need to be delivered. In the name of Jesus, O God, we pray, Lord, right now for those who are just stuck. They're just stuck. And they don't know where to go. I'm praying that you would reignite their heart. Give them a sense of hope that soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. And if that's you, my friends, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family right now, as I prepare this right up here. Let's go right up here right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, listen, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's watching to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and that you would let your light shine bright in the days to come, that even you who would give your heart today would win many souls to God. in the days to come. If that's you, bow your heart and your head. And all I'm going to ask is that you would turn your back on sin. Turn from your wicked ways and turn to God. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to come into your life. Ask God to help you. And watch Him do the miraculous by faith. Pray with me and watch God do the miracle in your life. Say this prayer with me if you're watching right now by faith. Bow your heart and your head. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. Someone just got saved. Listen, down below is our banner. Log on. Our email and phone number is there. Get a hold of us. We want to give you a Bible and congratulate you. And congratulate you by coming into the family of God by faith. And we'd like to invite you out to our church on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Our service is at 10 a.m. We're in the white little chapel. I truly hope that you would come out and see what God is doing in the midst of His people, where you would come and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, where your faith would soar like eagles and your hope would be abounding, the hope of glory for the soon coming King. Come on out and join us and you will love the worship. Matter of fact, we're having a guest singer, Ariana. She'll be with Brother Angel and Brother Andre, and I don't know who else is coming, but it's going to be a wonderful time of worship. And so all that you can find out on our banner down below. Also, I want to give another great big giant shout out to all those who continue to support our ministry. We are so mighty thankful for each and every one of you who contribute to the cause of Christ for this Amazing Grace ministry that we have. For donations are deeply appreciated, and we thank and praise God for each and every one of you. Well, my friends, this concludes our Bible study for this evening, and I'm so very blessed to have come into your living rooms or wherever you may be watching this from this evening. And I hope that God will meet your every need and that you would look up, for your redemption draws near. I'm going to leave our benediction, and then I will say goodbye. And it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, my friends, we love you. God bless you. And on behalf of Sister Yolanda, the Amazing Grace family, we love you. You take care this evening, and we'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.
hallelujah.